sharing message is from New Life Gillette's Easter 2021 service. Here's Pastor Mike to give us this Easter message.
Happy Easter! Oh, it's good to see you this morning. I'm excited to talk to you about something that the Lord has put on my heart about Easter. We're going to talk about one of the characters in the story today, and I'm hoping that you'll see him in a new way. Let me first say welcome to those of you who are watching online, to the guys over at the prison, to our friends at the jail, to those of you who are here in the room. We're going to talk today about Peter. Simon Peter, or Simon, you kind of use two different names to refer to the same guy. Peter was kind of the most outspoken guy who followed Jesus, one of his 12 disciples. Peter is the leader of the group often. He's the one who's first going to step out and speak when there's some kind of battle to fight or something. In fact, the night that Jesus was arrested, the cops show up to arrest Jesus in the garden, and Peter pulls out a sword and chops off the ear of one of the guys on the SWAT team. And Jesus is like, hold on, Peter, this is how we do things. And Jesus reaches over and he heals the ear of the cop who's just arrested Jesus. In fact, after that he's arrested, they're taking him to jail at the high priest's house. This is how they did it back then. And Peter doesn't just walk away. Peter still, I'm going to protect Jesus. He's my friend. He's my master, my rabbi. I follow him. He's my teacher. And so Peter follows Jesus to jail. And then we pick up the story in John chapter 18. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. So two of them went. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, which the jail is in the high priest's house. So he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. So this other disciple, he's got VIP access to Caiaphas's house, to the high priest's house. It was probably John himself, this other disciple, because John's telling the story and he didn't name himself. But for fun, because we don't know for sure, let's just call this other disciple Kanye. So Kanye gets VIP access into the high priest's house, but Peter had to stay outside the gate. But then the disciple, Kanye, who knew the high priest, spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. So there's a lady watching at the gate. Kanye calls in a favor. He's like, hey, lady, we'll call her Kim. Kanye, get along. Peter, hey, I don't know who you are, but Kanye says you're good. You can come on in. So then Kim, or the woman, asked Peter, you're not one of that man's disciples, are you? Peter's thinking, I don't know. What are you planning on doing with the disciples of Jesus? If you're planning on crucifying them too, then no, he said, I am not one of Jesus' disciples. Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. What kind of fire was it? It was a charcoal fire. That's an important part of the story. Remember the charcoal fire. Meanwhile, Jesus is on the other side of the gate being interrogated by the high priest and these other, his guards or whatever. And they're asking him about his statements about being a king, his statements about a kingdom. Like, are you planning on taking our jobs from us? Or what are your grand plans, Mr. Jesus? What do you plan to do when you become this king? And as Simon Peter is warming himself by the fire, they asked him again, you're not one of Jesus' disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, no, I am not. But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, so I kind of know, I recognize you, Peter. You chopped off Cousin Drake's ear. "Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove, Jesus?" this guy asks. So Peter cuts off this guy's ear, but it's dark outside. There's no street lights back there. I'm not positive it's you, Peter. "Peter, are you the one who cut off my cousin's ear?" But again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Anybody count? How many times did Peter deny knowing Jesus? Right, three. But at this point, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, Jesus is about to die. So if I deny knowing him, what harm does it do? Jesus is going to be a dead man. He goes away forever. I go on my life. Now it's every man for himself. Jesus is dead. And if Jesus is dead, then Christianity is dead. If Christ, Christianity means Christ followers. If Christ is dead, then Christianity is dead. So Peter goes back to being a fisherman. Okay, they killed Jesus. Peter's like, "Well, I was a Jesus follower, but Jesus is dead. I guess I go back to fishing." But something that Peter did not expect happened. Because 3 days later, Jesus is killed, but he comes back to life, resurrection. Now, when they think about resurrection, they're picturing some like spiritual resurrection, a spirit ascends out of the grave, and it more has metaphorical purposes than a physical, bodily resurrection. But Jesus doesn't just do the spiritual resurrection. Jesus comes back to life. And all of a sudden, again, Christianity is alive and well. But Christians, not all of them realize it. In fact, at this time, not all of them even believe it. Jesus rose from the dead. Nope. Thomas, nah, didn't happen. I need proof. But if Christ did raise from the dead, then Christianity now is alive more than it ever was before. Now Christianity has a whole new meaning. If Jesus really did raise from the dead, now this isn't some good teacher to follow. This changes everything. In the meantime, Jesus raises from the dead and he appears to hundreds of people over a span of 40 days. And Jesus, in appearing to these people, reignites the movement of Christianity. But everybody's not really sure how to react to resurrected Jesus. In fact, Jesus' followers are still out fishing. Well, one day they're out fishing, and they're fishing, and they fish at night. They fish all night long, and they fish at night because I guess they catch more at night. And Jesus shows up at the shore, and he's watching his disciples fishing, and they're not catching anything. So Jesus goes over to the shore and he starts a fire. And so they can kind of see a silhouette. And at one point, Peter's like, "I'm not sure who that is, but there's a man over there." And then Jesus from the shore shouts out, he says, "Have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then Jesus said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did. In fact, they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Can anybody think of another time when Peter was out fishing but couldn't catch anything? This has happened before. Like, this is the exact same situation that happened back when Jesus first called the disciples to follow him. Back when Jesus filled their nets with fish, and he goes up to them and they're like, "You are the Messiah." And he says, "Follow me." In fact, he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So this is a powerful memory in Peter's mind. He's not now as caught up in the idea of catching a lot of fish as he is a memory of what happens when he first meets Jesus. Then the disciple that Jesus loved, probably John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord. I know this situation. I can't see his face, but I recognize his voice, and I remember this situation." And I think in this moment, Peter is a little scared. Peter's wondering, uh-oh. If he remembers the whole fish in the net thing, and he predicted that I'd betray him. Do you think Jesus knows that I betrayed him? Do you think Jesus knows that I said I didn't know him? But Peter, knowing Jesus and knowing what a forgiving person he is, Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shore to see Jesus. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. This is what breakfast looked like that day. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire. What kind of fire? Charcoal fire. And some bread. I think those items are very, very important. In fact, did you know that the Bible only uses the phrase charcoal fire 2 times? Only twice. In the entire Bible do we mention a charcoal fire. And we've just read both instances of a charcoal fire. In other words, Jesus is reminding Peter of his past. Jesus is bringing to mind some things that have happened in Peter's past. Did you know that the part of the brain that is dedicated to smell is called the olfactory bulb? And the olfactory bulb is in the limbic system part of the brain. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I read about it. And the limbic system in the brain, apparently, is the part of the brain that deals with two things, emotions and memory. That's why when you smell something, it brings back memories. Maybe as you smell this fire today, it's remembering, you're remembering something. When you smell something, it evokes emotion and it brings back memories better than any other sense we have because of the part of the brain where we do our smelling. In other words, I think today that Jesus is taking Peter on an emotional walk down memory lane. You got the net full of fish. You got the bread which was broken to remind them. He says, do this in remembrance of me, to remind them of Jesus' crucifixion, to remind them that Jesus died for them, their sins. And you've got the charcoal fire. And in this moment, Peter's emotions and memories are overwhelming him with conviction, kind of putting everything into perspective. And I think Peter's panicking. Jesus knows I betrayed him. I thought I was going to get away with this. He didn't know. He wasn't there. He didn't hear it. I thought I was going to get away with it. Does Jesus know? Of course he knows. He knows everything. When I was in college, I had a group of friends that I shared a dorm with. And in the dorm, we always had one big beef with the dorms, and it was the toilet paper. The toilet paper in the dorms was this like really thin stuff. Does anybody in here like thin toilet paper? No, no logical, somebody said me. No, you don't. No logical human being likes thin toilet paper. And so this would always make us mad. And so finally, senior year of college, we got enough fed up of the toilet paper that we broke into the office of the president of the university. And we toilet papered his office. And I'm not saying we threw a couple rolls. We stole like all the toilet paper out of the janitor's closets that we could find, and we wrapped every inch of his office in toilet paper. You could not see his desk, you could not see his chair, chandeliers, everything covered in toilet paper, and it was a blast. At the same time, it was terrifying. We're like, if we get caught, and so the whole time we're nervous, but we're like nervous chuckling, you know how that goes? And the next day, we're like, I wonder if they have security cameras because they're going to find the toilet paper and they're going to go back and see who it was and are we going to get caught? But as time went on, we started thinking, ooh, I think we got away with it. I don't think anybody knows. Nobody confessed. Nobody got weak and told them that we did it. We got away with this. When I was graduating from that same university, I was walking across the stage. And the president is there to hand diplomas to everybody who graduates. And as I walk across the stage, the president reaches back to grab my diploma, and he reaches over to hand it to me, and I look down, and it's not a diploma at all. It's a roll of toilet paper. He knows. I thought we got away with it. And in that moment, you are terrified, right? You're wondering, am I ever getting the diploma? What are the consequences of toilet papering? Luckily, he was a nice guy, and he eventually gave us our diplomas. I think Peter's having an even more terrifying moment, wondering, he knows I betrayed him. Is this the unforgivable sin? Like, what happens after you betray God? And he's smelling the charcoal fire, overwhelmed with emotion. But at the same time, he knows Jesus. He knows how Jesus has forgiven all kinds of sinful people. He's watched Jesus heal people that should have been outcasts. People who he should not even have been near. And with all these emotions going through his brain, finally Jesus speaks up. And after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know that I love you, Jesus. Why do you even have to ask this? Of course you have to ask this. I've just betrayed you. And he goes on. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, so two times. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And a third time he asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus had reminded him of these three betrayals. Peter was hurt. He said, you know that I love you. He said, Lord, you know everything, obviously. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Peter, I knew you'd screw up. Peter, I knew you would fail when I invited you to follow me the first time. The first time I performed the miracle with the nets and the fish. But Peter, my grace is sufficient and my grace is not dependent upon your actions. Peter, you denied me here at the fire, but I'm still here. And today, Jesus is standing with you asking, do you love me? There's a chance that you've had an encounter with God. Maybe it was at a camp like Brad. Maybe it was in Sunday school as a kid. Maybe it was in youth group and you kind of went on with life. Maybe it was in college. You had a conversation with somebody. Whatever it was. But right now, God is bringing those memories back to you. You're remembering the time when God, you kind of felt a tug on your heart, and you kind of knew you were sinful, and you kind of knew you needed forgiveness, and you kind of knew that eternity was real. And right now, those memories are coming back. And like Peter, you got distracted with life. It's not that you quit believing, and it's not that you fought God, it's not that you hate God, you just kind of, life happened. And I thought you were dead, or I thought it was too good to be true. Life happened. But still, Jesus is here asking, do you love me? And your response to this question determines everything. Your response to this question determines if you will live with him in eternity or be separated from him forever. But if you will be united with him, and if you will follow him, then he will forgive you of whatever sin it is, even if it is denying him, even if it is turning your back on him, even if it's, well, everybody was doing it. He will forgive you. He knows everything about you, and he still loves you unconditionally. He knew you would screw up when he died for you on the cross while you were still sinning. Christ died for you, and he is still here asking, do you love me?
Are you Peter? Like the fisherman throwing his net into the water, whose life is about to change. Do you hear the call, come, follow me? Do you leave your nets behind? Are you Peter? In a boat filled with men, are you the only one ready to jump ship and walk on the waves? Ready for adventure, but scared by the storms that rage outside the safety of the hull? There are believers and skeptics, people who believe just about anything, and those who question everything. What do you believe? Do you believe Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Are you excited by the possibilities of life? Do you see God moving and get excited and want to act? But do you at times run ahead of God, so caught up in your own agenda that you miss what God is trying to do? Have you ever hurt someone? Have you lashed out in anger or in defense of someone you love, but hurt someone else in the process? Has your temper gotten the best of you more times than you'd like to admit? Are you Peter? Have you told God you'll do anything, go anywhere, even give up your life for him? But have you gone back on your word? Your fire once burned bright, but something changed and now you're barely an ember. Or maybe you've turned your back on Jesus altogether. Does the scent of the charcoal fire bring back memories? Memories that haunt you in your sleep. As the scent fills your lungs, do you remember the times you denied him? When you feigned ignorance and said you never knew him? Are you Peter? Can you hear him asking you?
Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church.
You are Peter.
If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it.
You are Peter. Your mistakes don't define you. Your hasty decisions, your misguided passion, your temper, your denial, it's in the past. The past didn't define Peter. His story didn't end with a rooster crow or the scent of a charcoal fire on the beach. Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep. Peter went on to start the Christian movement. He preached with such authority that thousands believed. He healed people. He prayed and a dead woman was raised to life. He was imprisoned because his fire was so bright some thought he was a threat. Your past doesn't define you. Like Peter, you were created to burn. God has given you a fire. You were made to blaze with a holy fire, to set this world on fire, to shine so brightly that others might see God. What will you do with your fire?